The Church Media Podcast, episode 159, Leading Up, How to Get Your Pastor on Board, with Jason Diba and Ryan McCormick. Part 2. Let's do it.
This is the Church Media Podcast,
the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church.
Exclusive interviews and church media training from the best minds in ministry and Christian entertainment.
Useful, practical content in the areas of audio, lighting, video, stage design, volunteer culture, and more.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Carl Barnhill.
Hello and welcome to episode number 159 of the Church Media Podcast. We have some great episodes lined up for you over the next few weeks. We have Ryan McCormick and Jason Diba from Passion City Church joining me today and over the next couple of weeks on the show. Then we have episodes lined up with Alan Keyes from Streams Church, author of Church Growth Flywheel, Rich Birch, and a special treat, the creator and producer of the show, When Calls the Heart, will be joining me. A great story of how God is working in Hollywood through believers that love Him and want to use their work to glorify Him. That's all over the next couple of months on the show. If you haven't checked out our brand new podcast for student pastors and leaders called The Youth Room, we would love for you to check that out. If you are a student pastor or work with one, my buddies Trevor Miller and Daniel Stavanis bring their unique brand of humor and crazy to the podcast world. If you head to 1230.media/podcasts, 1230media/podcast, just click on the Youth Room graphic there, and you'll be transported to the world of student ministry. The guys present fun, practical ways that you can transform the student worship experiences at your church. Be sure to check that out. All right, part two of my interview with Jason Diba and Ryan McCormick on the topic of leading up, getting your pastor on board, is right after a little church media training tip. Here you go.
And now, your church media tip of the week. Useful tips and tricks to help you transform the worship experiences at your church.
Hey guys, Steve Dirks from Shannon Baptist Church here with another church media tip. This week, another Pro Presenter trick of the trade that I use is the Go to Next Timer and Loop to Beginning features. These features are very useful when you have a string of announcement slides or videos that you need to loop continuously. It allows you to set each slide to stay on screen for a specific amount of time. Check the Loop to Beginning box on the last slide in your string, and it'll loop back to the first slide and continue going over those slides over and over. To access the Go to Next Timer, select all the slides you want to change. You can do this on a Mac by hitting Command and then click on each individual slide, and it'll highlight it. Right click on all those slides and select Go to Next Timer. Set your desired duration in seconds and then click Done. For the last slide in your loop, right click on that slide, select Go to Next Timer again, and check the Loop to Beginning box. This feature will automatically help your announcement slides loop, and you'll enjoy using this within the ProPresenter program. Use the Go to Next Timer and Loop to Beginning features in ProPresenter. It'll save you a tremendous amount of time.
Get more free coaching for your production team through our blog, podcast, and online resource library. Visit 1230.media/training today. This is an exclusive interview from the ministry of 1230 Media. Here is church media coach Carl Barnhill.
So what if I'm thinking my pastor's not like Louis Giglio? He's not a creative. He's not seeing the production as what it is, as an artistic element, and it gives it the value that maybe somebody like Louis does. What if I'm a church media guy thinking that? So maybe another way to ask this is, what are some roadblocks, Jason, that maybe you've encountered when interacting with your pastor?
Yeah. I'm just going to second Ryan. We're in a little bit of an anomaly situation right now because we have a creative pastor, a pastor who's extremely creative, kind of at the head of the culture that we're in. But it's rare. A lot of pastors are not going to prioritize design and and just a creative aesthetic and sensibility to how things are programmed or gatherings or anything like that. Right. It's more likely you're going to get into a situation where the pastor doesn't really even want to meet and talk about these things, or he's never going to give you that feedback just as just a default. He might, like I mentioned before, there might be a lot of nitpicking going on, a lot of small things, or kind of the biggest soul killer is that they want to use videos, but they want to use like really terrible knockoff videos or like just picks of selections of things that you're like, oh my goodness, this is awful. It could be a whole number of things like that. If it can feel like they're trapped in the year 1998 and they can't get out of it. I think those are all, if not all of those things, you're going to run into some of those things with kind of with everybody. Everybody's got a little bit of their thing where it's going to be hard to get them out of that. And I think even of the things that I've just listed right there, there's probably different things to be done with each of those individually. I think the relationship thing is this step one. One other thing that kind of relates to that I'll put in two different terms is that you have to be willing to exchange vision for vision at times.
Good.
Because, like I mentioned earlier, you walked into wherever you're at with this grand vision for the creative space that you wanted to create. Again, whether it's musical, production, video, something. But then your pastor, he's got a vision for the whole church. And that might include a creative component, or it might be a very tiny creative component. Regardless, he's got a vision for what is happening at large with people and with buildings and possibly with campuses and staff and morale and culture and what's the next four sermon series we're going to do. Like, he's got another vision that he's carrying. And one, we need to kind of sober our own mentality a little bit on the creative space to know that we think we're carrying a lot. Our pastors are carrying infinitely more and a lot more capacities. And so one, we need to be mindful of that. We need to be supportive in that case. But then two, back to this what I mentioned just a second ago about exchanging vision for vision, is that if you're not making any advancements in terms of that creative vision that you have because of any number one of these things about not being able to meet, or things about it being trapped in 1998, or any number of situations that you feel are these roadblocks to you making any forward movement, then rather than just pushing harder, you know, just coming with more options, or just trying to, we're gonna cram this music in, we're gonna make it work whether you like it or not, we're gonna be playing the latest Elevation album regardless if no one smiles. Like, rather than just coming with like an iron fist to the situation, which can be tempting to do, like just keep pushing it forward. I know that, like, that was my strategy for a long time. Well, if you don't like it, I'm going to make you like it. Like, that's not a great idea. The better idea is to look for those spots in the pastor's vision that you can be the linchpin for, that you can step in and say, I will help you with that. It's amazing to me how many times my pastor, wherever I was at, maybe didn't really have much of an opinion about the videos that we were producing, but he had a whole lot of opinions about where he wanted his podium to go on stage and where the like the guitar cables were at.
Right.
He had a whole bunch of thoughts on that. And so that to me is the opportunity for me to say, okay, here is an area of concern for him that I can help be a solution to. And sometimes it has nothing to do with creativity. It's just kind of a gap somewhere in the organization where he's wanting to do something, but no one is stepping in to help it happen. For me, I want to be that person who steps in and says, I want to be a part of the solution for your vision, pastor. And it may, maybe it's not even the pastor. Maybe it's the student pastor or whoever's leading your organization. I want to be known as someone who's helping move the ball up the field for everybody, not just the creative thing. And what I've found in my experience is if I'm willing to do that, if I'm willing to build in that margin, and I'm willing to keep my eyes open to look around to see what else is happening in the space that I'm in that maybe isn't solely creative, that my effort to doing that starts to open up the doors for the creative things that I want to do over time. That, again, it's kind of this bigger idea of, like, I'm not here just to do the thing I want to do. I'm here to be a part of the larger idea of bringing the gospel to my city, to the area where I'm at. And I think sometimes that takes getting down into the dirt of something that isn't exactly the vision that we had.
Right.
We have to keep those things going. We're still responsible for making sure that the gathering happens and the production's good and XYZ, but we have to be thinking on a slightly broader scale about how we can help the pastor feel like we are intentionally working to see him succeed in the vision that he has for the church.
Ryan, do you feel like being the number one encourager on your staff has any weight? I guess, what are ways that you found that encouragement works as a way in to lead your pastor or others on staff?
I mean, I definitely think encouragement is a huge portion of that. You know, I think the kind of the doorpost of the conversation of how you engage with your pastor and your leadership has to be humility and honor. And I think that's a, you know, we talk a lot about that. That's actually one of our core values at Passion City Church is we believe that humility and honor are the doorpost to the kingdom of God. And so it's one of those perspectives of we have to humble ourselves, but we also have to honor our leaders. And I think if you come into any conversation as it relates to getting your pastor on board or your engagement or your leadership level, anything like that, if you come in with that perspective, it will really kind of set the tone for the conversation. As far as encouragement relates to both your leadership and kind of the team around you, it's a huge piece of the puzzle. And, you know, honestly, the best leaders are the people that they don't take credit when things go right, and they tell you who actually it was. You know, and I try to do that frequently where, you know, if someone goes, hey, that video was awesome, I try to go, yeah, it was great. Jason did a really good job on it. Because quite frankly, half the videos I had very little to do with outside of seeing a version of it somewhere along the way or like sitting in some meeting. I'm like, I'm not going to take credit for that. In the same sense, on the other side of it, is I'm going to be the first to go, if something goes wrong, I'm going to be the first person to take ownership for it.
Yeah.
My pastor and my leadership is never going to doubt, like, does Ryan see it? Does Ryan take ownership for it? I will take fault and throw myself in front of the proverbial bus every time because that's what's required of me is leadership. That's required of me going, hey, I own this. I have the responsibility of this. And so to me, encouragement, absolutely. It's important that portion. I want to try to be proactive and make sure that the people that actually did the work and the person that really owned that project get encouraged in that. I want to encourage my pastor. I want to encourage up and down, sideways, anywhere in the organization. Encouragement is an important thing. Louis always talks about on Sundays, he tries to text three people every Sunday and tell them they did a good job.
Mm.
And just when he's leaving for the day, he tries to, and he will try to go, hey, I'm texting someone in the parking lot. Hey, you did a great job in the parking lot today. But encouragement is, it has to be a kind of the currency of how you work within a team. It has to be the thing that is just flowing kind of like effortlessly through your organization,
yeah,
both from the top down, from the down up, from peer level. Encouragement has to be a huge key to that.
Yeah.
It's awesome, man. What if my pastor, what if I feel like I'm not getting anywhere and my pastor uses things like the congregation won't like that, throws that out a lot, or what if all the suggestions that you've mentioned, what if I still feel like I'm hitting a wall? Like I just can't get anywhere moving the ball down the field creatively at my church.
Well, one thing I thought of as you're talking about that, I think what happens a lot of times in those conversations, and not every time, but I think what happens in a lot of those conversations is we can, in a room, get excited about a creative idea. We start running down the field on it. We start putting some legwork on it. We may even spend some resources on it, spend some time on it. We kind of run this thing all the way down the field, and at the last second, generally, like on 2 days before a gathering, we go running into the pastor's office or send him an email, and we go, look at this. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we're not actually asking the question of what do you think of it. We're actually looking for the rubber stamp of, we're real excited about this. We've already basically done it. We just need you to sign off on it and actually get excited about it and maybe even change the way your message was going to go to make sure that this fits really well.
I'll add to that. Just to, I think that definitely happens. I've done that and suffered drastically for it. Actually, Ryan, finish your point, and then I'll jump in on that.
And so I think a lot of times we kind of get excited about something in isolation. We don't involve our pastor or our leadership anywhere along the process. And at the very end, we need them to reply on a weekend or after hours and say, looks great, thanks for doing this. And then we set all this expectation on them. And then when we don't get that, we're mad at them. And we're frustrated by that process. And then we're saying, well, look at this roadblock. They don't like it. And on the flip, I think if we will start on the front end going, hey, what's your vision for this gathering? Is there an element that I could add that would make this really great? Is there something that would hammer home the point for you? Is there a passage of scripture that you're working around that I could kind of come up with some elements around it? I was having a conversation with somebody, and their music team had created a CD. They'd recorded a CD. They wrote some original songs. And they sat down with me and they said, hey, how can we get our pastor on board with the CD? And I said, okay, well, did you ask your pastor about any of the songs on here? Did you say, hey, pastor, what are some songs that you feel like we don't have right now? Yeah. In our worship diet, what are songs we don't have?
Yeah.
Then ask that question. Hey, what songs do you think we could need? Or is there a sermon series that we really could use a song that whatever? Didn't ask that question. I said, well, are any of these songs related to a message that your pastor gave, that something that your church is doing? Well, no, not really. We just got in a room. And so it was kind of like, hey, we did this whole album thing. It has nothing to do with you, your leadership, your messages, or anything. But we want you to get excited and get on board with it. But we've already recorded it, and it's ready to go. And, like, that's how you're going to run into some serious roadblocks.
Yep.
Yeah. So just to piggyback on that, so when I come into a meeting, and again, this is not something I stepped in on day one knowing. This is years and years into running into the very problem we're talking about of kind of getting down the field a bit, having an idea, something you want to do, and then and then what we feel like is getting blindsided by the rejection of it, which is probably reflects a little bit more of what we were expecting than what actually happened. So when I step into a meeting, there's two ways that I need to be ready for the meeting to go. And I need to be equally ready for both. One, the first way, or what Ryan just said, is that I need to lead with pastor or whoever the leader is. Do you have any creative direction for what you want to happen in this gathering or at this event or with this series or something like that? Defer to them. You know, they are the leaders. So, like, give them the first chance to speak. And then if they do, and they do have something, then be prepared to run with that. Like, be prepared to develop it. Be prepared to help take it. If they have it on one level, be prepared to be the person to help take it to another level. One thing that people wonder, or that I've asked myself at least, is how can I help my pastor create the things he wants to create? Well, the first step to that is actually hearing him, like being in a room and actually asking him, saying, "Hey, what is it? What do you want to do? Is there a particular song that you've been listening to and worshiping to that you want to pull into this next series that we can have as a song that we sing several times over?" Sometimes, like, pastors, this sounds weird to say, but sometimes, like, they're hesitant to want to jump in and disrupt the creative process, and so they won't say that, or they'll pass it through somebody else. But we can help create a healthier conversation environment by just leading with, "Pastor, we do want you to be leaning in creatively and telling us what you want, if there is something you want." What I found, though, is that if you do that first, And then they say, actually, there isn't anything. There's nothing I have particularly in mind. Well, just them being able to say that and admit that they don't have anything particular kind of sets the tone for, like, okay, now is your chance, the creative person, to go ahead and start pitching some good options. So, one, I need to walk into the meeting with the expectation that maybe the pastor does have a direction, and then I'm going to be the one to help create that direction and help bring it, manifest it, bring it to life. But two, the second way it could go is that he doesn't, and that by him saying that he doesn't, then I now have the opportunity to say, okay, here are a few different things to do. So I'm walking in with ideas ready to go, but I'm not leading with those as my number one.
Right.
My number one is, Pastor, let's collaborate. And if he declines that, then number two is, okay, well, here's a couple of things I've been thinking about that maybe we should consider. And then you throw out a few things. At that point, I feel like just the way that conversation flows in many ways diffuses this critique of, well, the congregation won't like that.
Right.
Because the pastor, he's gonna have less reason to find reasons to blame things or put things down if he knows that he hasn't brought anything else to the table either.
Right.
It's kind of like whoever comes in most confidently and but also has the respect enough to let others take the lead too is the person who's gonna really win out in the end and have the most ideas brought to life.
Right. Right. Excellent. Well, guys, let's kind of wrap our discussion on leading up or bringing our pastor on board. So as we wrap today on this topic, give me some parting thoughts. What do you guys, help wrap our conversation on this topic?
So my last thought is related to where we just landed. You're in a meeting. And you're talking about things that you might do for a series or for a Sunday or for an event or something like that. One thing I also want to do with whoever's leading is that I don't want to just throw out generalizations for what we might do. Mm. What I prefer to do is to pitch an emotion. I want them to feel a certain way about a piece. And so if I can't present an idea in a way that makes the pastor feel something, like I'll never want to walk in and just slide a script across the table and say, hey, read this and tell me what you think. That's not creative. Like, we need to be the ones who help establish the tone for a creativity. We need everyone in the room to be feeling something about the ideas that we're throwing out there. That it's not something that terribly easy. It takes more time. You got to mock things up. You got to find sample music. You got to do a sample voiceover. You actually have to finish the script before you pitch it. But those are all things that will bring us up to a higher level, a higher caliber of creativity, and get more people and earlier in the process to say, yes, that's good. Yes, we're behind it.
But let me jump in here and ask, how do you get away with, and maybe I could phrase that differently, but with spending hours of your day mocking up something that may or not be used? Have you run against any resistance in doing that? Or do you think some guys that may be part-time or hourly in their media role might feel some pushback from doing that?
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. And it's definitely, it can suck up all your time. And the thing is that I think everyone, including myself, will at the default level say, I don't have time to do that. I just need you to sign off on an idea, and then I'll spend the time making it.
Right.
Well, that's great in some ideal world, but that's not the world we live in. It's we have to bring people along with us to feel like we're getting some buy-in. We have to remember, we were hired, or we were invited, or we were asked to be a part of the creative team because we're the creative people. So we are the ones who have to take the leading stance on it. We have to be the ones who set the example for what it is that we want to be doing. And so it does require a lot more time. And yes, there'll be there's things that I worked on recently, probably spent 12 hours on, that I pitched and then got the thumbs down, and it just kind of disappeared into oblivion. 12 hours, I'll never get back. But it's not 12 hours wasted, because it's part of establishing culture for me.
Right.
It's a part of bringing up the tone, setting the expectation. And in those 12 hours, I'm actually learning more about my art than I would otherwise.
Yeah, practice.
And so there's a price to pay, for sure. But it is the price of entry. And it's the price in order to start doing things that nobody else is doing.
Awesome. Ron, do you have any closing thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of wrapping Jason's idea of, yes, you definitely have to find time, and you have to find the space in your schedule to work on your craft. And that may not always be, quote unquote, billable hours for you. In the same way, that's practicing, and that's sharpening a gift that you have. And I can, and that may not always be a billable hour for every project. Or you may not be able to go, well, this was within the work hours, or this was within this project hours. But to me, it doesn't diminish the importance of that, because to me, at that point, I'm crafting the gifts that God's given me. And so I'm going to show up prepared to meetings, honed in and ready to go, and ready to actually present a creative idea. In the same way, you have to practice any skill set or work on any skill set to get better at it. And that's just kind of part of the, like Jason said, the cost of entry of being in the creative world. You know, my closing thought as we kind of wrap all of this is, it really is less about how to get your pastor on board, per se. It's how to invite your pastor into your world and how to step into their world. It's kind of this mutual exchange of going to them and going, hey, what do you see about music that could be better?
Yeah.
What do you see about production that could be better? What do you see about creative that could be better? It's inviting them into the process, as opposed to just trying to make it a transactional relationship where you say yes to my project and I say okay to yours, and this kind of like back and forth. It's really about going, how can I build a relationship and build a teamwork that allows us to kind of build off of each other's work and efforts. And I think, you know, that's an important process, and it has to start somewhere. And so if you don't have, if you're like, man, we're at ground zero and we have nothing outside of, we go to the same office and we both show up on Sunday morning and we execute what we're asked, figure out what's that first step you could do. Figure out how you can invite some encouragement. You know, like Jason said earlier, encouragement is the piece to kind of start that process. You know, another great thing is we do a Lyft conference, where we invite pastors and worship leaders and creatives to come to the same room.
Yeah.
Because we really believe that's how you have to do that. And you can go to lift2019.com, check all that out, and sign up for that. But find those opportunities to learn together. Find those. I mean, I can't think of a better thing to go, hey, I'm going to go to the Lyft conference with my pastor. I'm even going to find the space in my budget to invite my pastor there. Like, hello, that'd be crazy, right?
Yeah.
But invite them to it. And then sit down afterwards and go, here's what we learned together. Let's talk, how can we implement this? Even if you're like, hey, my pastor can't go, he doesn't have time for this, you go. You get the recordings, and then you come back and go, hey, can I talk to you about what I learned? I want to get better at this. I want to figure out how we can dialogue together. Be the proactive one. Don't, you know, sit back from afar and be the, you know, going, well, they just don't want to listen to me. That's your problem, quite frankly. That really is. It's when we have done our part to go, I'm inviting my pastor into my world, and he's inviting me into my world, and we're mutually encouraging each other. We're providing mutual feedback. Something really special happens. And then at that point, it's no longer, how do I get my pastor on board? It's like we're locked arm in arm as we go together and advancing the kingdom of God through gatherings and events and creativity and messages. And that's a really special place that you really want to end up being.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media. For more interviews, training, and exclusive content for your production team, visit 1230.media/training.
You may be a creative, you may be a musician, you may be a songwriter, an artist, and our job is to help people see the worth of God and to help people see how much they are worth to God.
the tone and the temperature of the room, we can let anybody determine that, or we can do that.
We can create environments that invite people in and make them feel at home. Then they are going to be themselves, and being themselves is what is going to allow God to touch their heart.
And when we start wrapping our minds around who God is, it helps us have a well from which to worship God in our lives.
Be sure to check out the Lyft Conference. Ryan and Jason play a huge role in that conference, and you'd be learning from the best. So check it out, passioncitychurch.com/Lyft. That's passioncitychurch.com/Lyft. Articles, archives, and resources for the show are all online for you. Just visit thechurchmediapodcast.com. That's thechurchmediapodcast.com. Click on episode 159 and the magic will happen. You'll be absolutely astonished and amazed at the wonders of free stuff that appear before you. That's thechurchmediapodcast.com/159.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, I'm going to welcome Jason and Ryan back and dive into a different topic. This time around, we're going to chat about putting creative ideas into action. Super practical stuff that you can use next week on the show. Thank you for listening this week. Go out there, guys, and create some incredible experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
The Church Media Podcast is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media and produced by David Michael Hyde. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com.